Hello, everyone. Today's podcast is brought to you by Pulse Podcast Network. Check us out at PulsePodcastNetwork.com. We are also on Apple Podcasts and Spotify Podcasts, so make sure to subscribe and follow us on those two to make sure you are updated whenever we drop our latest episodes. What's going on, Mike? How you doing today, man?
Doing good, Cam. Loving this March Madness.
Yeah, it's been absolutely insane. Cannot wait to see what else is to come. UNC, I think, has a super easy road to the Final Four, but let's see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, this tournament hasn't been as many like big upsets, guys or teams making big runs, like lower seeds. The only one really is Oregon, and that's a 12 seed. And then like UNC side of the bracket, Auburn at rank 5 is the lowest one left, and so it's a lot of top dogs left in this tournament.
Yeah, pretty much the best teams are winning. There's none of these big Cinderella runs. I don't think anybody really thinks Oregon's gonna beat Duke unless they just have an outstanding night. So honestly, there's no more of these low Cinderella story seeds. It's the best teams are winning, and it's great basketball. We've had these few upsets that have been nice to see, but besides that, it's just been good basketball by good schools.
Yeah, and UNC, they started off with the 16 seed Iona, and it was actually closer than a lot of people expected, including myself.
Oh, absolutely. Being down by 5 at half was definitely surprising to most UNC fans and everybody, really. I don't think a lot of people were really that nervous, because good coaches always know how to analyze these bad teams in the first half. They're going to say what they need to say. They know how to stop them. And once that game plan is out there, then it's pretty much game over for these just lower seed schools like that. I mean, what is their coach going to halftime saying? And then we ended up putting up 55 points in the second half to that game. Absolutely amazing. UNC never really puts up numbers like that in a half, but we just shot the lights out and finished the game strong.
Yeah, the most impressive performance to me was Nazir Little.
Absolutely.
17 minutes, 19 points.
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing. Off 70% shooting. He didn't shoot any threes, but at this point in the tourney, I don't think he's going to be trying too many threes unless he's, one, just feeling it, or two, like a wide open corner three. But there's really just no reason to continue to try when he's a 27% three-point shooter. I think he's just going to do he's starting to really figure out his role with these small minutes, and that is making those really good cuts to the basket, because a lot of our players are seeing that and hit him on those cuts, and he's super athletic, and that's where he's incredibly hard to stop, is under the rim.
Oh yeah. And then UNC, after that little scare, it was a little scare for UNC fans, you know, not barely, but having a close first half with Iona.
Yeah.
Then they took on Washington, and man, I watched that game from the jump ball to the final buzzer, and Washington had absolutely no chance.
Yeah, I watched a good portion of the game. I was at work, but I was keeping an eye on it for sure. I had the game on my phone, luckily, to that March Madness app. But yeah, from the looks of it, they couldn't stop us at all. Nazir Little, once again, went absolutely crazy. 72% field goal percentage, 20 points. He's averaging 19.5 points a game these first two games. Incredible. Pretty much averaging 70% field goal percentage. As of this point in the tournament, he's probably one of our most important players, no doubt, because he's putting up these numbers – and half the time, almost everybody else is playing. Like the three main starters, half the time they're playing, and he's putting up the same amount of points or more, and just incredibly efficient.
Yeah, I can't even really explain how big this Nazir Little. If he's playing like this, man, I don't see anybody stopping him, because he's playing 21 minutes. He's taking away Garrison Brooks' minutes.
Oh yeah,
he played 21 minutes as well,
exactly,
in that Washington game.
Yep.
At 5 points.
I noticed that,
and less boards.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what Garrison Brooks is good for, honestly, because he's not a shot blocker. He's not a hustle rebounder. I mean, he doesn't, I don't know, he's just a body on the floor. Like, at this point, we really just need to start running Luke Van at the five, because he has proved he can rebound with the best. I mean, it's just no question about it at this point. And when you have Nazir Little on the floor, who's athletic, he's going to be going up to get the boards too, especially if he's at the four. He's going to go up for boards and get, I mean, we just need to end this Garrison Brooks shit. We need to keep him at this 20 minutes a game and have Nazir play 20 plus more, because at this point it's working. Nazir does have that illness, flu-like symptoms right now.
That's huge, man.
Yeah.
I hope he's all right.
Honestly, he needs to tough this shit out like MJ did. If MJ can do it, he can do it. I don't care. He's a kid, but I mean, this is the most important part of his career. Unless he's about to die on the court, he needs to be out there. And I mean, unless he's just going to be shitting the bed, he needs to be out on the floor, because we need him tremendously. I don't know if we can get it done with just Garrison Brooks as our primary in our six man rotation. It's not gonna work that well unless everybody else picks up for his shitty slack and goes off. We need Nazir for sure. He has been such a big player for us in this tournament.
Yeah, even if he's not 100%. You still need Nazir Little, because we've talked about this plenty of times, is the short rotation, the six-man rotation, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty, yeah.
You lose Nazir Little, then we're going to have to start digging deep into the bench.
Yeah, I mean, Brandon Robinson got 15 minutes in that Washington game, only 2 points. He only shot two shots. I don't think he was really out there to score at that point. He was probably just out there to give players some rest.
Oh, yeah.
But if Nazir's out, he's gonna have to step up 100%. And I don't doubt that he can, because he's proved that he can be a pretty decent 3-point shooter off the bench for us. Nobody that's gonna be making like these big time plays, but he is 100% capable of knocking down open threes. And if Nazir's out, he's gonna have to knock down those open threes. No question about it. He's gonna have to do something, find his shot. And I think he can do it, but it's questionable, because he's never been put in a situation like that before where he has to step up in a big time moment. So we'll see what happens if Nazir's out.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a successful first weekend. You know, winning the second round by 22. That's great.
Oh yeah, that was tremendous.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and dive into our segment of what's real, what's fake. You guys know how it works. Just say a statement. Cam gives his opinion on if he thinks it's real or it's fake, and we'll just analyze that. First one, Nazir Little means more to the team than Kenny Williams. And that's pretty big. We're talking about a freshman and a senior here.
Yeah. So as of now, he is way more important than Kenny Williams. One, all right, so I'm not taking anything away from Kenny Williams. He is a tremendous defender, and that's why he's starting on the floor, because he can defend pretty much the one through three, short four if they're playing small ball. And that's what he does. That's his role. He knows it. But he has been such a bad scorer this year for us. He took one of the biggest dips I've ever seen. And just from the eye test, not even looking at statistics, just from the eye test of watching him from the sophomore, junior year to senior year, he doesn't even look like the same player offensively. I don't know what happened to his shot, but it's not there. And Nazir, he can play defense really well. I mean, I would say Kenny's probably a better overall defender than him, but Nazir can keep up with the best, and he can score a lot better. Now, he can't shoot better than Kenny. I mean, Kenny's not shooting well this year, but he can't shoot better. But he can get to the rim and layup, dunk. You're not. It's hard to stop him under the rim, and he's proved that the last two games, shooting 70% from the field.
Oh yeah, Kenny Williams. He kind of had that strong into the regular season, so he gave everyone a lot of hope that he was back on his, you know what. But he he comes out against Washington. He only shoots three times and has 2 points in 27 minutes.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that. He was such a big time 3 point shooter for us his first 3 years. Such a big time player for us, and then he hit a senior slump. Super disappointing to see. Cause I love the kid. He's been here since the beginning. I've watched him every year. I've seen him grow into the player he is, but it's great to see him as such a great defender, but sad to see him take a dip offensively.
Yeah, so, I mean, I got to agree with you on that. Nazir Little, he's proving that when he comes off the bench and he's out here averaging 20 points for you, that's huge.
That's huge, huge.
Nobody has a guy coming off the bench and giving him 20 points. Nobody has a potential lottery pick coming off the bench.
Yeah, honestly, it's just almost unheard of to have a player that's averaging 20 minutes a game, pretty much. I mean, pretty much like 18 a game. Yeah. If you're looking at the regular season, 18 minutes a game, but is a pretty much I would say almost guaranteed a lottery, like a late lottery or right after the lottery. I mean, he would get drafted 100% in the first round, and he's only playing 18 minutes a game. But if he keeps doing what he's doing in this tournament, he's definitely, I would say, 100% going in the lottery.
Yeah, I got to agree. All right, let's go to Auburn is the toughest opponent in UNC's division.
All right. Right. I want to say yeah, because they are absolutely shooting the lights out. I mean, they who did they beat in the first round that nobody I can't even remember. They beat somebody in the first round, but just obliterated them.
Yeah, it wasn't even close, and they beat Kansas.
No. Auburn in the first round almost lost to New Mexico State. I meant.
You're talking about the Kansas game.
Yeah. They blew out Kansas, like blew them out to water. But that first game, I mean, Auburn almost lost to New Mexico State. Yeah, it could have been a really bad game, but they really should have lost. New Mexico State choked the fuck out of that. It was a big time choke. But Auburn right now, when Roy Williams is saying that they're shooting the lights out and that as a team we have to defend out on the three, I find that scary because I don't think anybody really likes going against great 3-point shooting teams, and I just hope everybody can stay focused and not get lost on screen switches and shit like that, and just make sure we have this three ball 100% defended. I think Auburn really could be our toughest opponents, despite Kentucky and Houston coming up after this Auburn game. If we win, I think Auburn's a really tough matchup.
Yeah, Auburn's they got this one guy. This is the only guy, I'm gonna be honest, the only guy I know, Brown, number two. He's like, in the last game against Kansas, he went 7 for 11 from three, 25 points.
Shit. Yeah, so that's crazy.
That's gonna be hopefully that's gonna be Kenny Williams' assignment. He'll do what he does.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. If they don't have anybody, I mean, cause don't get me wrong, I'm not gonna flex. I don't know anything about Auburn. I just know they've been shooting the lights out, and but as long as Kenny gets put on their best guard or forward, I think we're gonna be fine. We just need to make sure that we're, like I said, we're just not getting lost on shit and leaving people that we don't even know are open, and we'll be fine.
They are coming off a huge win because Kansas hasn't been the same this year. But they're still Kansas.
Yeah,
they're
exactly.
Still Kansas, and they completely killed them. Yeah, they completely just killed them, and it's always scary when you got a hot team coming off. But so is UNC. So hopefully it's a great game. Hopefully UNC is hot, because most likely Auburn's gonna be hitting their threes as well. So it's gonna be a great game. I can't wait for it.
Oh yeah, we got Kobe White coming off a great game against Washington. Started off on fire from three, and finished with 17 points, 4 for 7 from three. If him and Cam Johnson can just match whatever Auburn's about to throw at us, we are going to be 100% fine. I mean, they just have to do just a little bit of what they're doing on the three. Because this year, we're shooting the three way more than I've ever seen us shoot before. We're not really known for being such a three-point shooting team, but I'm loving to see Roy really come around to this new type of playing style. It's fun to see, and I hope we can keep it up throughout this tournament.
Oh yeah, I gotta say Kentucky's the best in that bracket because, well, everybody wants to see another Kentucky UNC Elite Eight for sure. Yeah, that would be something. But Kentucky's got guys like Quickly, Tyler Harrow, Keldon Johnson, PJ Washington. If they get by Houston and UNC gets by Auburn, which I expect to happen,
yeah,
it's gonna be one hell of a game, man. That's gonna be.
I can't wait if that happens, man. Like, it's just so much nostalgia. I mean, Luke May, that game-winning shot, never gonna forget that. And I think that's definitely gonna be on Cali Perry's mind too. If we end up playing, he's not gonna forget that for sure. And it should be interesting for sure.
They'll be looking for some revenge.
They
had a good team, like De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk.
Malik Monk hitting the absolutely absurd game-tying three over Justin Jackson. I mean, it was one hell of a game. I've probably almost never been so scared in my life. Besides the next game where we're missing four free throws at the end of the game. What's next on the list?
I got you. There's a good one right here for you. Kobe White is the best point guard left in the tournament.
I'm going absolutely. I'm completely biased, but I don't think there's anything that he's bad at. I mean, maybe besides controlling the pace, but if that's the worst thing I can think of, then fuck it, because he is a great all-around point guard. He can rebound, great for a point guard. I mean, he's 6'5" listed. He averages a good amount of rebounds a game. I see him with 5, 6, 7 boards as the point guard. I love to see. And he can shoot the three ball, incredibly efficient. He's shifty. He can do step backs on you. He can do incredible drive and dishes. And I mean, he can do everything under the sun. It just comes down to controlling the game and not making useless turnovers. I mean, a lot of turnovers that we have this year are just not needed, just unnecessary ones that we definitely could prevent. And besides that, I think he's the best point guard left in the tournament.
Yeah, not many, if any, teams have a freshman point guard left in tournament. If you notice, besides like Trey Jones on Duke, most teams, their point guard is at least a sophomore or upperclassman.
Word.
And so, I mean, you got guys like Tremont Waters from LSU or Cassius Winston from Michigan State. Those are the only two that I could actually make an argument for. Like, you got other guys all around the tournament, but those are the only two that can maybe have an argument. Mm-hmm. And I really like Tremont Waters from LSU, but Kobe White just got him beat on pretty much everything. And when it comes to skill and what Kobe White can do, he's so dynamic.
Super.
He's like a De'Aaron Fox that can shoot, because De'Aaron Fox couldn't shoot in college. Mm-hmm. He's a little better shooter for the Kings now.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I love what Kobe White brings to the game. He's so explosive. If he's hitting his shots, then nobody's competing with him.
I mean, because when he's feeling hot, he'll take about any shot he wants. He just needs a little bit of space off a step back, and it's lights out.
Oh yeah, I got a good one here for you. Another championship for Roy Williams would solidify him as the greatest college basketball coach of all time. What do you think about that?
All right, so he's already the GOAT to me, no question asked. What he's done, he's got. I'm pretty sure he has 5 chips, and maybe 5 or 6. I don't know. But he's done it for 2 different schools, which to me incredibly impressive. Since being at UNC, he has 4 Final Four appearances: 2005, 2008, 2009, 2016, and 2017. 2 Coach K's 3 Final Four appearances since he's been at UNC. And Roy Williams has 3 national championships, compared to Duke's two since Roy has been at UNC. Obviously, these numbers are before this year's tournament or before this year's Final Four and National Championship. So that can all change by one, but it would be tied at National Championship if Duke wins this year, and Duke would still be one Final Four behind. So, I mean, honestly, since Roy has got the UNC, he's done a better job than Coach K. I mean, unless you want to count like the head-to-head wins, Coach K has a couple more since he's been at UNC. But overall, I mean, I'm comparing him to Coach K because obviously that's the only other person that would be considered the GOAT. It's pretty much one and two right there, if you wanna call it that. But UNC, if he wins this year, it's absolutely he will be the GOAT. I think it'll bring a lot more debates on shows because right now unless you're a UNC fan or I don't know, unless you just don't like Coach K, a lot of people say Coach K is the best. Probably it doesn't help that he coaches USA basketball. I think that adds a lot of accolades to his record book. But if Roy Williams wins this year with this team, the team. I honestly, not a lot of people expected to even make it this far or that to be doing this good. He's the GOAT, 100%.
Yeah, like I think it's definitely a three-man race right now with Roy, Coach K, and Bob Knight. I mean, you can dig deep in the history books if you want to look at John Wooden, but we're not going to do that, okay? Yeah. But Bob Knight and Coach K and Roy. But the thing about Roy that gives me the edge on Coach K is he takes these guys in and he develops them. Like when this whole new age of one and done, Coach K's been doing that for a little while now.
Yeah, Coach K gets the best players every year in, year out. People say he's the GOAT, but you can continue because I'll just cut you off.
Yeah, I mean, Roy Williams, he gets these guys like Luke May, Joe Barry, all the
Theo Pinson point
guards. Yeah, Theo Pinson and all these UNC point guards that we talk about. Got Bryce Johnson. He develops them, gets them Kennedy to where they need to be. That's another that's the thing we talk about Nazir Little. Maybe they've had other conversations and think that maybe Nazir Little can stay more than 1 year and he can develop him and be the next great UNC player and be a potential top three pick or something like that.
Yeah.
But that's the thing that gives me the edge on Coach K.
You mean Roy?
Roy gives the edge.
I got you.
Yeah, but I definitely agree. If he wins another one this year with this team, he's the GOAT. It's done. He's the GOAT.
Yeah, I love the point you brought up with how Roy develops players that nobody has heard of for the most part. And turns them into championship players. Like that 2017 championship team, you got Joel Berry. I can't remember what he was ranked in high school. Theo Pinson, he was all right, so Theo Pinson and Justin Jackson were top 10. I don't know what the hell happened because they weren't playing like any other top 10 recruit. But so they stayed, but they developed into some great players. Bryce Johnson was not highly not like a super highly recruited guy, but all that whole starting lineup just stayed with Roy Williams. He taught them what it takes to be a champion, and they ended up champions. And honestly, I'm so sad for Bryce and Marcus that they didn't become off of a fucking game winning shot. But that was a championship team. And it led over, most players led over to the next year and just did it once again. Roy Williams knows how to coach players. That's simple as that. He doesn't need the best players to win. And I'm not saying Coach K needs the best players, but he gets the best players way more often than UNC does.
Yeah, the thing about Roy Williams, he's this old guy, you know, laid back. He likes to have fun. He's just he doesn't look like these young guys nowadays would gel with him and like him, you know, because a lot of guys, they like younger coaches, things like that. But these guys love playing for Roy.
They
give everything they got for him.
Yeah, they would do anything for the guy. I mean, you want to call Duke a brotherhood? Well, I mean, yeah, go ahead. But UNC, I mean, if you want to get corny, is a true family. Like, there's no doubt about it. Everybody feels like a family. And I think at the end of the day, that does help the players to feel like they're part of something like that, and to play for one another and not to play for their draft stocks. I think that really helps the team at the end of the day, rather than teams like Duke, which obviously they're all close and stuff like that, but they're playing for themselves at the end of the day. They're playing for their draft stocks. They want to see everybody succeed, but they're looking out for themselves.
Exactly. All right, let's move into the future of the tournament. And we got Auburn coming up, the winner of Kentucky or in Houston after that. But let's start with this Auburn game. And I'm going to throw something out there that I actually wasn't aware of. I mean, I'm an ACC guy or Big 12 guy. I don't really pay much attention to the SEC. Mm-hmm. Auburn, they won the SEC tournament, and they beat Florida and Tennessee. They destroyed Tennessee in the championship.
Really?
They won 84-64.
Holy shit.
So they're coming off 5 wins in a row.
They're super high right now. Like we were saying before, they fucking squeezed past New Mexico State, but I think that was just a hiccup in the road for them. I think they're still just as hot as ever. They're coming off of, like you said, 5 big games. I didn't know that they were dominating the SEC like that in the tournament, but it's gonna be a scary game. I think it's gonna be a tough matchup, but we just gotta contain ourselves, make sure we are watching the three, don't let anybody loose, and we'll be good.
I'm actually expecting a huge game from Luke May tomorrow, because Auburn's leading rebounder is a guy named Chuma Okeke, and he's 6'8", 230, and he's averaging like 6.7 rebounds a game. And you know, Luke May is just an absolute dog on the boards, and I expect him to be the leading catalyst against Auburn and lead them to that dub.
Yeah, I mean, if you say that their leading rebounder is 6'8", then Luke May is going to be absolutely fine, because he can keep up with the 7-foot rebounders. So if he's matching up against somebody that's his own height, I mean, I could see another 20 rebound game from him. Honestly, he that would only be like the second player in UNC history to do that besides Tyler Hansbrough. But and I could absolutely see him do that if that's the case over there.
Yeah, and like we were saying earlier, Kenny's just got to hold Brown in check, because he's their leading scorer. He takes most of the shots, and when he's hot, that whole team is hot. He's a senior, so he knows what he's doing out there. He's gonna be looking to make a name for himself.
Oh yeah,
Bryce Brown is his name.
Okay, yeah. If Kenny Williams is feeling his shot, then I think if Kenny Williams is hot any game, we're blowing the team out, because everybody else is going to be just fine, most likely. I don't think Kenny's going to be picking up anybody's slack. I think he's just going to be doing great. If he does good, he's just going to be doing good, and everybody's going to be feeding off of that, because honestly, any game he's done good, the rest of the team has done fantastic, and that's just what we need. We just need him to hit just a couple threes, just to get the crowd hype, just to get the bench hype. And once we start feeling that, I think the rest of the team is going to fall in line with the domino effect, and it's going to be a blowout.
Oh yeah. And looking ahead, selfishly, I want Kentucky to beat Houston, just because, like we were saying, man, everybody wants to see that UNC-Kentucky game. That would, besides every Duke game there is, because, you know, they got Zion, that's going to get the most views and most ratings right there.
Oh, 100%. Like, that rematch is going to be huge for ratings. There's no question about that. Every real college basketball fan is going to be tuning into that game, no matter where they're at, no matter what they're doing. It's gonna be a hell of a game, and I cannot wait to see if that happens.
Yeah, and we're actually doing this podcast live during Virginia and Oregon's game, and UVA is only up by 1 right now with 10 minutes left. So we'll see how that works, because if they go all the way, then it would be UNC and UVA in the Final Four. I know we're looking ahead, because it could all change in home game.
Yeah, any of these games.
Yeah, I know it can all change, but most likely it's going to be either Purdue or UVA in that Final Four game, and that's like it's going to be a dogfight. It's going to be an absolute dogfight.
Oh yeah, I cannot wait for that. It's going to be a hell of a match. I'm watching every second of that game, eyes glued to the screen. I'm hyped.
Yeah, I cannot wait for this March Madness to continue. We're just getting started too. We're just getting started. UNC's just getting started.
Oh yeah, it's just the beginning for us. I see us 100. We definitely got the team to go all the way this year. At this point, I think everybody can agree. UNC has a great team. We can go all the way. We can be anybody. Pretty much the toughest opponent is obviously going to be Duke if we end up going up against them, which would be the craziest national championship of all time. But
yeah,
we only lost in about 1 point with a healthy Zion. So there's just a few things that need to be adjusted, and we can be any team, and there's no question about it.
Yeah, we all want to see Roy Williams go make another run. We want to see the best coaches do what they do, and hopefully it's a good coaching matchup with Roy and Coach K or Tony Bennett, good ACC matchups.
Oh, yeah.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening today. March Madness, like we've been saying, March Madness is just getting started. This is Tar Heels Take, brought to you by Pulse Podcast Network, guys. Thanks for listening. Until next time.
See you later.